that you've made us one body. And that family is to be increased until every tribe, tongue, nation, and people have had opportunity to join the family, to be in the clan. And so today, as we continue our theme in addressing the idea of a global reach, would you help us, Lord, that what we have been able to enjoy and to rest in the finished work of Christ, that work would birth in us and grow in us and mature in us a desire to take that message of hope and reconciliation with God to the ends of the earth. Toward that end, we open your word and we look to see you move and work in us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to, as we've talked about, continue this series. In your bulletin and handout, you'll find that there's a little bit different kind of outline there that has some fill-in-the-blanks that you'll want to try and grab, and I'll try and remember to hit those for you. But I'd like to invite you to join me on the adventure that you were created for. It is the adventure that you were created for. It is the reason that you are alive, this adventure. It is to go out and reach the ends of the earth. Now, in order to do so, I'm going to use as an illustration one of my own, not really an expedition, but to some of you it's an expedition, and we're going to talk about that and use that as an illustration today. But the idea is I'm inviting you to invest your life in the very thing that you were created to do. Anything worth defining your life by that thing is not a Sunday afternoon stroll. It's not a quick, I've got it sort of deal. Anything worth identifying your very life and purpose about is much bigger than that. Well, here's a peak that we're going to use as our illustration. It's a specific peak that I have done. This peak is called Innominate. It is in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming, and it has a great illustration for the idea of completing the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission, you might ask? It is why we do missions. It is why we have global reach and that we're looking to impact the ends of the earth. It is until all peoples have an opportunity. Now, I climbed this peak, Innominate, in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming in 2006. This mountain, Innominate, notice the small block on the top of the mountain. It's a natural block standing up there on the top of that distant peak. And it is a natural thing, and this mountain is seldom climbed. There's a reason it's seldom climbed. You're going to find out about that. And matter of fact, Jay, my partner and I, who climbed it, I had never met before. I went to do this trip, long story there, but Jay and I placed the summit register on that mountain. A lot of mountains that are significant have a summit register up on there in a waterproof container, and you can write your name on it and the date to show that you've been there. We placed the summit register on Innominate. There had never been one. He registered it, put it in together with the Forest Service, so he is the first signer on the summit register of Innominate, and I'm the second. And so we took that up there. But how do you get there? Why is it seldom climbed? Because you drive from Buffalo, Wyoming for about an hour on the tar roads. And then you do a bumpy four-wheel drive road that takes about 2 hours. And then with all your gear, you hike for about 15 miles, gaining 2,000 to 3,000 feet of reasonably rough territory until you get then to the approach of the mountain. And then you actually climb the mountain face. And that's me standing by that small summit block that you saw on the top of the mountain there. This holds a direct analogy to the Acts 1:8 commission that God has called us to do. What's Acts 1:8? It is this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's where we're going. Other translations have it to all the peoples. To the ends of the earth, to every single one of them. So how high is the summit? We're kind of doing two. Well, Innominate is not all that high. Innominate is 12,761 feet high. But the task of completing the Great Commission, it's pretty tall. And the goal is this. Here's your first blanks. That every individual and group of people in the world would have an opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the mission. That's what Acts 1:8 is saying. You will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you will be able to be witnesses to all of these people, all of the people groups the world over. That's how tall the peak is. That's where we're going. How about we just run up that in the next couple of years? Well, it doesn't work that way. Just the same as you didn't run up Innominate Peak, let me tell you, you don't get to run up and complete this idea. And so we need to develop a deliberate path. How do we do this? How do we get it? And we have to understand where we're going. What is that assigned task? What kind of equipment do we need to be able to get up there and that we're prepared? So what is the path, though, that God has you to do? Each of us. This command is not to missionaries. This command is not to pastors. This command is to every person who names the name of Jesus. If Jesus is your Savior, then this is what he's called you to do. This is the mission of your life, to be able to accomplish this. So we've looked at the mountain. Now let's look at a breakdown of the task that is before us. There are today 195 countries in the world. Within those countries, there are 17,095 people groups. Now, there's your next blanks, people groups. 17,095 people groups. What's a people group? It is a group of people united by some cultural, linguistic, geographic, or religious barrier. Cultural, linguistic, geographic, or religious barrier, and for many, all of those, all four. Thus, we see a distance between us and them that becomes greater because of those various barriers that are there. But each of the people groups are defined and come from a word that we get our word ethnicity from, the ethne. It is the Greek word for nation or people or individual group. Now, of those 17,095 people groups in the earth today, 7,151 of them have no gospel witness, no sustaining influence of the gospel among them. They do not have the ability to come to know Jesus as their Savior because there's no one within their group to tell them. Let's look at the world a little different way. We know there are 7.7 billion people on the face of the earth today. You know, unless you work in the government, you throw out those names of billions, and who knows what that is? You know that if you counted from one to a billion, you'd be counting for 95 years? If you have a billion seconds ago, it was 1966. A billion inches is more than halfway around the earth. $1 billion lasts the U.S. government 2 hours and 20 minutes. Maybe that one wasn't helpful. Let's break the 7.7 billion people down in a little bit different way then. 4.6 billion people on the face of our planet today are reached, but of the 4.6 billion are reached today. That means that, go to the next slide if you will, that means that they have a gospel witness within them. That doesn't mean that everybody there believes. But we would say most North Americans, there are some people groups in North America that aren't reached because they're in an isolated group. But most people in North America are reached because they know where they can go and get the gospel. And because there's a live witness there. But 3.1 billion people on the face of the earth, they don't know a Christian. They don't know where to find one. They don't know about a church. They've never heard about Jesus. So how do we do this? And how do we reach, 3.1 billion people, that's pretty tough. How do we reach that? How do we reach 7,151 people groups? It seems an insurmountable summit. It's so high. How do we do that? Well, we use the Acts 1:8 model. That's what we do. We go back to what Jesus told us to do, and we work what he told us to do. See, we find Jerusalem. It's where, in the climbing analogy, we drive there on the tar roads, right? You got to drive there or you don't get to go. And then we go from Jerusalem to Judea. And that is, we're doing the hike in. And then we do the approach. We go on a tougher rock. It's getting steeper. And it's E2, the approach. And then E3 is that we actually do the cliff face that is on that mountain. Now, all four of these are also analogous. Notice how this says it. Jerusalem, that is E0. What do I mean by that? E is, in a sense, the evangelism distance. See, someone is raised in a Christian home, they already have a Christian understanding because it's all they've known. It's a part of, if you will, their home culture. They know it. But that doesn't mean they've had a heart decision for Jesus yet, have they? But we don't have to change anything in their thinking except take it from their head to their heart. It's an E0 reach. Nominal Christians would be E0. Then we go from Jerusalem to Judea. It's a little harder. This is someone in E1 where they understand maybe and they know a little bit, but they haven't really trusted Christ. E1, guys on the screen, please. Our culture, our language, we're not having to change cultures. We're not having to change languages, but we still have to convince them. For instance, they're an agnostic, they're an atheist, that Jesus is the way. That's an E1 distance. E2 is when we go then to Samaria. Now there begins to be a distance. They have a similar language, but maybe a very different culture. Or they have a similar culture, but a different language. And they just don't say the same things, and we have to reach out to them. And then there is all the people's E3. This is, again, kind of going up the cliff face. They are separated by distance, by distinct culture, by differences in significant world views and understanding and language barriers, and many people of the world, they have all of those that we have to use to reach, to be able to get to them. That's the goal. Now let's walk through those each individually. First, E0, it is reaching family and nominal Christians in our own locale, in Jerusalem. So here we are, reaching E0 in Jerusalem. Now, the climbing illustration is that when we're driving there, and it does get bumpy when you're driving and you'd have to do those four-wheel drive time. It's not really a road. It is a, yeah, anyway, it's bumpy and you go up there. But it is important. You have to do that. We reach our families or the nominal cultural Christian. In other words, somebody who just thinks they're a believer, but they've not really trusted Christ as Savior. They've just been church people. There's a lot of that in our culture. Personal faith story on this would be, for instance, a mom leading her child to faith in Jesus Christ. So here's this mom, and she sits down, and one day she really shares the gospel with her child, and that child receives Christ. Is that important? Oh, you bet it is. But we're going to have both a personal story and an example, and we're going to have some corporate stories and example. Not only is that important, and not only is reaching Jerusalem strategic, but it is incredibly supportive of the whole rest of the mission. If we don't have that, the church is going to die. We also find corporate stories, for instance, Rooted, reinforces what's done in the home. Sometimes it is the only place that it's done. Alexander Hilbelink recently prayed to receive Christ at his Rooted class, though it's been reinforced in his home. There's an example of a recent story of a corporate faith story of reaching our Jerusalem. You see, Rooted reinforces. It reaches our kids and our grandkids. But how does that happen? We have to have people serve there, don't we? We have to have them working in those places. And so when we look at that, we say, okay, there's a direct application, isn't there? And that is, as God brings into our lives nominal Christians, and you're working with them in your workplace, you're sitting next to them in your school, you're engaging with those neighbors that are yours, you have friends, you have relatives that you're able to engage with as you cross their path, encourage and inspire them to join us on this journey. See, God desires that we would be building His church right here in our Jerusalem. And it's the basis from which then we're able to launch and go all the way out. So let's move on. E1, reaching our Judea. Now, in the climbing illustration, this is the 15-mile hike in. This is actually a plateau that you're seeing there on the upper left that we parked the truck at there. And we walked across that 15 miles, and then we got to where we pitched my tent there at the base of the mountain, and that was 15 miles in, hauling all of the gear into that place. E1 is, though, you need to understand, the most effective means. Notice this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. You were worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. See, it gets done. But notice what this is saying. There were a people, when we get all the way to Revelation chapter 5, it means there is a people group who are doing E1 evangelism with every culture, tribe, nation, tongue, and people on the whole face of the planet. Do you see that? In other words, it's very difficult. How many of you really relish the idea of doing what Don and Rachel are doing right now in 2 years of language study? See, that's a huge endeavor to get there, isn't it? But wouldn't a Japanese person share the gospel much more effectively because it's already in their culture? They know it. Same with, yeah, all of our workers who are going, we're going to get to that. But the idea is what God has called us to do is to create a church within every single one of those people groups. The task is for each ethnos to have an indigenous witness, next blank, indigenous. What does that mean? That they are already a part of that people group. They already understand the culture. And for them, reaching their peers is an E1. Because they're just getting them to receive Christ as Savior. They're not having to cross all these other barriers to be able to get there. Okay, our E1, personal faith story. Got to just hear this, actually, because we were working on electrical for the pavilion out here. That'll get done next spring. Anyway, and we're working on the electrical. Ed, Mindy Zinthifer own Arc Electric, and they were saying, fun story, they didn't tell it to because they knew this was coming up, but the idea is they've meet now with prospective customers, clients, and they say, hey, we like to open our meetings with prayer. Let's pray. And they start praying. And it's one way that they can say, we're doing more than just running a business. We're trying to make Jesus famous. And they're not perfect. They're not doing everything right. They admit that because when I ask them to do the story, they're like, well, you know, everybody gets nervous because they don't have it perfect like you and me, right? Personal faith stories. You have many of them that you're sharing the gospel. You're making a difference. But we have a corporate faith story. It's making Jesus famous in a place called Parkview Elementary School where a bunch of you just volunteered for a walkathon last week. And we were able to help them make that thing happen because the church stepped up and said, we'll serve. And they're amazed. And they continue to be amazed. And we even have personal requests for help from that school. They're now asking us this year to do 20 Thanksgiving meals to serve the children and the families in that school that might not have a real Thanksgiving dinner unless we bring it to them. We're going to bring it to them. Corporate faith story. Making a difference. But what do we do? That means that in all of these people groups, somebody has to support that E1 reach that is right there in their local community. And one of the ways you do that is the finances. We give to the local church so that the local church thrives. But look at these statistics. These are the number of families in our church involved that give to Plymouth Alliance Church and the number of families that are here regularly and not giving at all to the church. That means you're not really weighing in. You're not really supporting financially the church. Here's the opportunity to be able to recognize this is the mission of my life. This is what I was created for. It's why God gave me money, so that I can invest and build his church and make him famous the world over. And somehow, eye-popping generosity that is who God is has not captured your heart yet. That's a problem. You want to recognize and look and see that this is what God has created you for. But not only for that generosity, but here's some data on our serving in the local church. The first column there, we ask, how many times have you served here at Plymouth Alliance Church in the last 30 days, this month? And over 40% of people say, not one time. I didn't serve one time in the church. Folks, we're doing well. We can do better. This is the mission. This is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to build his church here so that it can go to other places. All right, we better move. Not just E1, reach our Judea. Let's go now. E2, reach our Samaria. Again, the point is in E1, in every single people group. So the point, next blank, is not E1 or E3, it's E0 all the way through E3. It takes all of them. It's a whole work, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the peoples. Climbing illustration here is that we're going up the approach rock, this area. Kid you not, when I was doing this with this guy who I, long story here, but I'd never climbed with him before, and he said, I'm not very good at approach stuff, but I'm good at vertical stuff. We were getting onto this approach rock, which is just doing a little bit of bouldering, and he wondered if he needed to stop and put on his climbing shoes. I thought he was joking. He was not. He was scared of doing vertical. He had lied about how good he was. That's a story for another day. But we look at this idea, and when it starts to get steeper, people start asking the question, when do I rope up? When do I need that rope to be able to tie into? And so we look and we say, we have some personal faith stories here. We have people in our congregation who do language tutoring with immigrants to help them understand and make Jesus famous to them and help them to know we believe in Jesus. But a corporate faith story. We have some that are not as much of an E2 as I'd like to describe, but for instance, we help in Belgium Alliance Church to plant the church among a different people. Now, they're pretty like us, I get that. And in our reach, it's a little harder to get a Samaria kind of a thing that's close, although there are some. There certainly are some people who are culturally separated from us and near. And perhaps we could do more of that. But also we could consider continuing to plant churches. What about Cascade? We've talked about that before. What about Elkhart Lake? What about looking around at the places and the people groups who are near us, the communities that are near us, and look to be able to establish a church there as well? So, application. How do we reach those who are not like us but live near us? Now, again, I don't know that we would say they are not like us, but it's still a reach for us to be able to go into other communities. And let's pray that God would broaden our reach. We'd look around and say, is there a people group that we need to be reaching into that's right next door? Or maybe a little bit separated, and we can put in the sacrifice to go and help in that church plant an hour away and drive every Sunday an hour away to go and help that thing get going, and we're praying and supporting it. E2, reach our Samaria. E3, reaching all the peoples now. When we get to this point, we reach all peoples at a distance with distinct cultural barriers and language barriers. A lot of people push back. They will say, well, why are we doing that? There's so many needs here at home. Have you heard that before? Perhaps you have said that before. Like, why are we spending all this money to send somebody way over there when there's all these needs right around us? I think it's a legitimate question. But it is, and the reason we do it is because God told us to. And that's not just my opinion. You see, when Revelation 5, we read that, it says, there is a witness of every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. He didn't say what I want is the most people to come to Christ. He didn't say that. See, if that's what he said, then we would only send our workers to the responsive people, the people who want to know. But that's not what he said. He said, I want a witness among every single people group on the face of the planet. And until you've gotten that done, you have not gotten the job done. That's what God determined would give him the most glory, is to have a people witness within every group of people on the whole planet. Yes, it's harder. Yes, it's more expensive. But that is what he's called us to do because it's his plan. We are going to work at doing that. It's because an indigenous, self-sustaining, self-growing, self-propagating church among every people group is God's plan. But here we are. You're looking over to the from a nearby mountain onto the face of Innominate. It's 500 feet up the face of the Innominate. Now, I want to do a little survey. Will you participate? Yeah. Please? Will you actually participate in my little survey? It'll be fun, okay? You can look around even. How many of you are comfortable doing the drive from Buffalo, Wyoming, the hour up the tar roads to get to the trailhead? How many of you? Go ahead, hands up and leave them up, please. Look around. Hands up. Pretty much everybody's ready to do that. How many of you want to do the four-wheel drive bumping? Keep your hands up unless you're not. I'm going to bow out. How many of you want to do the four-wheel drive bumping along road? We lost a few. My wife's hand goes down. She's ridden with me. How many of you want to carry the gear and hike 15 miles in? We lost a whole bunch of hands. How many of you want to do the approach and start getting onto the steep bouldering rock and go up? Okay. How many of you want to do the E3 and do this 500 vertical face? I might hold you to it. I lost a whole lot of hands there. And Justin, they're worrying about our insanity. Or our sanity, I mean. We are. No right, level-headed thinking person goes up that face without a rope. Shouldn't be done. We look at this and we say, it requires a team. Let's talk about the summit and being roped up then. You see, when we look at the E3, the summit of getting the last of the people, no doubt people want to be roped up. This assumes strategic partnerships. And if there's not a viable and effective church here, we can't reach to there because it requires a support base. It requires people reaching out and going beyond that. And so we look at that and we say we need to be involved in it. So let's talk about then strategic partnerships and having a personal faith story first. Notice this. We have one going on, and that is that Jonathan and Shannon Ribich have said, I'll climb the face. I'll take a year out of my life, and I'll go to El Salvador. But will you guys hold the rope for us? We went there. We sensed God's call. We want to go back. You're not going to leave us, are you? They stepped out and said, we'll give a year. We'll go and do this. Are you on the team? They're wanting us to partner with them. But we have an incredible corporate faith story. Here's our corporate faith story that many of you know has been going on. And that is we support a whole, we nine. Yes, cheer. Nine E3s. Nine teams. E3s that are going out. There's a picture of them on the wall out in the foyer. If you haven't stood before that and reflected and praised God for what's going on. I need to be careful here in what I say because many of these are going to place, some of these are going to places that are, next slide please, that I can't name as the recording will be up. But notice we have Chris and Sarah going to a country. 128 people groups there. Only 2.5% are Christian. Clayson's in Guinea. 48 people groups there. Only 0.7% are Christian. S&W are in an Eastern Europe country. 180 people groups. Only 1.5% Christian. The Roos in France. 113 people groups. 1.2% are Christian. Schaefer's in Japan. 36 people groups there. 0.6% are evangelical Christians. The Williams in Senegal, 56 people groups, 0.2% are Christians. And we have the Shoes doing support and training to help. Do you know there's 3,969 languages with no scripture in them? They cannot read in their language, in the beginning, God. Not in their language. Ain't written. And so they're working on scripture distribution and understanding and awareness in their group. Stemples supporting these other groups. Va Congas is raising up workers to send them out. These are the supporting works that are going on. We have much E3 that is happening. So let's talk, though, about the task. Let me give it to you graphically, show it to you. So here's a geography of the peoples of the world and those people groups. There's people groups who remain. They're most difficult to penetrate. Keep going. We're going to move through these quickly. Click them. There's geographic barriers. I already said that. Go. Language barriers. There are cultural barriers. Here I'm going to show those to you in a graph. Go ahead. These are the world Christians. Notice the dots. These are the world's Muslims. Look where they're at. These are the world's Buddhists. Look where they're at. These are the world's Hindus. Look where they're at. Now look at this. Here's the world's Christians. Click it one more time and leave it. And those are the unevangelized of the world. Do you see how we have to go? They're not next door. We've got to send to them. We have to reach to them. It's the cultural barriers. It's the distance barriers. It's all of those that we have to do. There is a lot to be able to do. How many resources need to be allocated to accomplish this? We find, go ahead, that it's a lot that we have to do. Now, at PAC, what we find is that when we give to missions, here is what we're doing and what has happened. Go ahead. Oh, sorry. Senders. For a cross-cultural worker to take, I have old data here, it might be more than this, but it takes between 6 and 20 senders for every one out on that field to pray, to encourage, to support financially. So how are we doing? Let's look at this. Here's the giving in Plymouth at Plymouth Alliance Church. Oh, I forgot. I got ahead. I like it. You keep me on task. So, got a rope. We're going to do this. I'm going to try not to hurt anyone. So get ready. You guys ready? Catch. Take it all the way back. Keep passing it. No, Tammy, you're not. Oh, there you go. You're going to hurt them instead of me. Good, thanks. Keep passing it back. Good helper. Go, go, go. When it gets all the way to the back, then take it over to the side. Bring it up to the front. Bring it around a different way. Get on the rope. Pass it around. Stretch it out. All right, we got to the end. That's about it. All right, you guys got a little bit of a grip on it. You don't even... Go ahead. Get a grip on the rope. I'm going to try and take it from you. Like, wait a minute. Wait, well... They're also going to try and take it from you, Tammy. I think you could probably hold it like this, you guys. Hold it like this. Hold it like this. Watch. Hold it like that. There's no way. There is no way. Because if everybody does a little bit, it'll keep the one out there, won't it? If everybody's on the rope. I wish I had a longer rope. I wish I could get every one of your hands on the rope. I wish I could get every one of your hands on the rope. I wish I could get your hands on the rope to support the greatest work and the greatest mission in the entire world, and it's what your life was created for. It's why you live. It's why you exist. And some of you are skipping out on it. I don't know why. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand. How many resources need to be allocated to accomplish this? A lot. But here's some data about giving on PAC. We have, of our families, 78 families give to missions, and 109 are deciding not to. I don't understand that. We present this all the time. We have these great workers and these great opportunities, but you're not doing that. You're not participating. Let me get you on the rope. This is what you were created for. This is why we live and exist. I want you to pretend with me for a minute that I find an investment, a financial investment. And this investment is guaranteed. If you give me $100, a year later I can give you $1,000. And you find out that I told these guys over here about that investment, that they each gave me $100. A year later I gave them $1,000. I didn't tell you, I didn't tell you, I didn't tell you, I didn't tell you. How would you feel? How would you feel? Do you remember what Jesus said? If you give to build the kingdom, your increase will be 100 times as much. But some of you don't believe him. Some of you don't believe him. Because you're doing all your stuff with your money in other places, and I don't know why you're not believing in the greatest thing ever in all of life. But this is it. If you are not pursuing eye-poppingly radical generosity, Jesus hasn't captured your vision for the greatest opportunity in all of life. He just hasn't. Somehow, we've said it and you've heard it, but you haven't captured it in your heart that this is what life is about. 3 John 6:7 says this. They have told the church about your love. This is those who are sent. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out. Those workers that we just talked about, they went out for the name. Send them in a way that honors God. Does your giving honor God? Have you sent them in a way that honors God? Are you praying in a way that honors God? Are you sacrificing in a way that honors God? That's what we're called to do. The good news is, we do reach the summit. The summit will be accomplished. The commission will be completed. Summoning, getting the job done by the power of the risen Christ is what this is about. And if you find yourself sitting here today saying, Gary, I know what you're telling me here, and I get it, and I've heard it, but, you know, I just look at this and I find I don't know how to fit it in. I don't know how to do it. Maybe you've been missing the very first part of our verse today. It's just one verse that gives us all of this. But notice what it says, what you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Will you please sit on that for a second? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And do you know what this power looks like? Because some of you are saying, you know, I don't know how you're going to ask me to give when I come to the end of the month, I come to the end of the money long before the month. And I don't know how you're going to ask me to serve because I've got so much stuff going on already. How can I fit something else in to serve? But, you know, whether it's sports or whether it's school activities, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, hunting, or whether it's, you know, fishing or all of these hobbies, all of this stuff, can I just loop all of that into one word? Stuff of life. It crushes us, doesn't it? It just comes bearing down on us and it prevents us from doing stuff. But I'm telling you, what the power of the Holy Spirit does is it begins to shrink all the stuff of life and make it less important and make Jesus and his mission bigger. That's the mission. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if that's not happening in your life, you're not listening. The power of the Holy Spirit moving in you shrinks all the stuff of life. It's not ever done. I've still got a lot of shrinking to do in my life. I get it. It still presses in. But if that's not the trajectory of your life, that all the stuff of the world is shrinking and Jesus and his mission is getting bigger, then you've missed the plan for your very existence. This is what life and life in Christ is about. Are you walking in the Spirit to see your attachments to this life shrinking and the glory of Jesus growing? And if not, make it so right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For many here, we've been on this mission for a while and it's glorious. But perhaps it's time even for us I shouldn't say it that way, for us, all of us, to evaluate. Are we doing all that you've called us to do? Maybe we're called to be the next ones to go and to be tied in to the end of the rope. Or maybe we're to be just grabbing hold of the rope and serving in children's church, getting on the worship team, deciding that we need to really rein in our finances and we may need to make the church and the mission of the church globally a lot bigger in our life instead of living for this world that's going to end soon. Father, give us a passion for the lost people of the world. Over 7,000 people groups have no witness. Are we doing what we should be doing in light of that truth? Father, knit our hearts to yours. Help us to be a people who love the peoples of the world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.